Well, look with me in the Gospel according to St. Luke tonight. The Gospel according to St. Luke. We're going to go back there this evening in a different chapter. We were in chapter 11 this morning. I want to roll back just a little bit, hit the reverse button, and go back into chapter 2 of the book of Luke. Now, most of the time, folks preach from Luke chapter 2 on Christmas Sunday. And we're not going to preach necessarily a Christmas message, but we are going to deal with some of the portion of Scripture that sometimes people do deal with on Christmas Sunday. The account or occasion of the Lord's birth is found in the early part of this chapter. And as some days pass, the Bible tells us about His attention and attendance at the house of the Lord in these latter verses. And I want to do a fair amount of reading, so you can be just remain seated tonight as we read through these verses. Fair amount of reading that we're going to do tonight. And I want to deal with this latter half of this chapter of the Word of the Lord. And I don't know if you'd necessarily call this a message or just some exhortation tonight, but I want to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I have an outline. I don't necessarily have meat on the bones. I just want to share with you the things that I do have and be faithful with what the Lord has given us. From Luke chapter 2 and in verse 25 is where I want to begin reading. It's one of my favorite portions of the Word of the Lord. The first time I have it marked in this Bible, I didn't start using this Bible full time until 1992. But the first time I have it marked in this Bible that I preached from this portion of Scripture was in 1993. So it didn't take me long to get to this portion of the Word of the Lord. And I have preached from here I don't know how many occasions, and these pages in my Bible are faded and the color is turned, and they're precious places for me. And that phrase in verse number 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What a great phrase from the Word of the Lord. I'm thankful for the day. He said in Sunday school this morning when the Lord brightened the light up, when He said, "Let there be light," and He let my eyes see the salvation of the Lord, and it became real in my life. And I'm so thankful for that, this great portion of the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, begin a reading in verse number 25. The Word of the Lord says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." And that's got my attention. I want to know everything I can know about this man. When it tells me that he's just and devout, that means he lives right, he's clean, he's got a good reputation in the community, he's tried to do what's right, he's tried to live for the Lord. And to be devout, and that means that he's done so regularly that he has committed himself to this. It's not a one Sunday thing for him, but that he has committed his life to living for the Lord. And not only that, when he tells me he's clean and he's right, he's living right, and he's full of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is on him, I'm all kind of interested in what he's going to do here. And it said it was revealed unto him by this, by the way, this is what happens when the Holy Ghost comes on you. He starts showing you things. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. What about that? And he came by the Spirit into the temple. That's a good way to come to church. Came by the Holy Ghost. Came by the Spirit into the temple. Isn't it amazing how folks get here and they say, "Well, I'm praying God will send His Holy Ghost down." We ought to come with Him in our lives and on our lives when we come in. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. When we show up, we ought to come for this in our lives. He came by the Spirit in the temple, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Everybody here is just obeying what that Bible says. Amen. And then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother, that is Jesus' mother, not Simeon's mother, Joseph and Jesus' mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. By the way, there are some people that say, I may come back to it and I might miss it later on, so I'm going to say it now. There are some people that say that we know nothing of Jesus from the time he's a toddler until he's 12 years old. That's not entirely true. We know this much. His mom and daddy took him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover every year. That much we do know. We know every time that the doors were open and inviting all of the people of Israel to come to Jerusalem for church, his mom and daddy took him every time. What about that?
Amen.
And we don't know a whole lot about Jesus' childhood, but we know he wasn't one that laid down a church.
That's
somebody
right.
Say amen.
Amen.
And when he was 12 years old, verse 42, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Can you imagine leaving your baby, your kid, 12 years old, leaving him in Jerusalem, a big city now, leaving him in Jerusalem and going back home and realizing you left him, and then you got to go back and find your kid, figure out where he is? Can you imagine leaving your kid at church and nobody knowing you left him at church? And you just leave him there and go home and be already home maybe before you discover that you left your kid at the church. I'm going to tell you, my mom and daddy did it twice. Twice. Left me at church. Now, they got three children. They never left the girls, but they left me twice. And neither time was it at our church. Both times we were at somebody else's church. And one time, the pastor locked up everything, and his wife and everything, they locked up all the doors, and were headed home. I wasn't but about 4 years old. And they were headed home, and she heard this awfulest noise, and went over there to see what was going on and what was happening in the church. All the lights turned off. Everybody else had done gone to the house. And she came over there and heard me snoring on the pew. And they were about to lock up and go home. And my mom and daddy left me at church. Worse than that, they weren't even worried about it. They thought that maybe I had gone home with my grandparents. And my grandparents thought I'd gone home with my parents. And I was laying on the church pew about to be locked in for the week at a strange church. 4 years old. Now, it's bad enough. Listen, it's bad enough to leave your kid there when his name's Toby Powers. But you leave your kid at church, and it ain't even your church, and you're out of town, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God. Can you imagine how scared they must have been when they realized this? They left their kid at church, and they went a whole day in the wrong direction. Now, if they went a whole day without him, that means it took a whole day to get back, or at least a better part of the day. They're probably in a bigger hurry going back than what they were leaving. But that means he's been there for quite a while. And then when they get there, they go looking for him everywhere. Maybe he's still at the inn. I don't know if they had a motel, but I do know they had inns back then. Maybe he's still at the inn. Maybe he's still at the motel. Maybe he's with some family or friends or whatever. They start looking everywhere. The Bible said when they found him not, verse 45, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, that's a long time for a little boy to be by himself. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors and hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And they saw him, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You have not worried me to death, boy. That's what that means. And Jesus didn't do nothing. Y'all realize sometimes we as parents miss it. Y'all get this? Jesus has not done anything wrong. But his mama says, Son, you've about worried me to death. Sometimes we as parents miss it, and we get on to our children for our frustrations and not for their misbehavior. We may as well own that tonight, hadn't we? And be honest about it. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Why did you go looking at the motel? That's what that means. Why did you look everywhere else? Don't you know that if I'm not with you, I'm going to be doing what I was put on planet Earth to do? And you could have come back here, and you know I've been here. You should have known this. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man. I want to talk to you a little while, if the Lord will help us, about finding Jesus in the house of God. These accounts that we read here are very easily understood stories. So I won't spend a lot of time on the Sunday school lesson explaining to you what's happened in these passages as we have read along. If you have given an attentive ear to the reading, it's easy to understand what's taking place here. But I find that three different occasions in these verses that I read, that three people come to church, three separate occasions where people come to church looking for something, and I believe in all three cases looking for the Lord Jesus, even though maybe it was that Simeon didn't know it was Jesus he was looking for. He knew he was waiting for the Messiah. And though Anna maybe didn't know that the baby's name was Jesus, yet she knew she was waiting and looking for the salvation of God. And Mary and Joseph knew it was Jesus, but they didn't know where to locate him. And in all three cases, they found him at the house of God. Amen. They came to find Jesus, to locate Jesus, to discover Jesus at the house of God. And can I tell you, that's a real good place to find the Lord. Yeah. And I understand that folks tonight will be passing out somewhere in America if they heard what I was preaching, because they would say something like, you didn't find the Lord, he found you. And I'd say amen to that. He found me when I was lost. And I do understand that we didn't all go looking for the Lord, and the Lord's not lost. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord makes a man thirsty and he makes him hungry, when he makes him thirsty, he'll go looking for water. He might not understand he's looking for living water, but he'll go looking for water. That woman went to the well that day because she was thirsty, but she found more than what she was looking for. My friend, they went out to hear Jesus in the wilderness, hear him preach, but their bellies got hungry, and when they got hungry, they went looking for bread. But when the Lord found them, they found more than what they were looking for. And if you get hungry enough, you'll go looking for bread. You get thirsty enough, you'll go looking for water. And my friend, when the Holy Ghost conviction of God comes on your life, you'll go looking for relief, and you'll only find it in the Lord. And the best place, it's not the only place, but the best place that I know of to find that is in the house of God. And my friend, I'm grateful the Lord saves people away from the house of God. I'm grateful God saves people under the gospel tent. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful he saves people at the rodeo arena. Praise God. I'm grateful he saves people at home. I'm thankful he can save anywhere. But I can't think of a better place to find the Lord near and dear to your heart than at the house of God. And that's where they found him in Luke chapter number 2, was at the house of the Lord. I want to show you these three accounts, these three stories, give you a few points and sub-points about them, and I'm going to quit. And so if you got a pencil, if you're going to write them down, you might as well write them down quick, because I'm not going to preach long if the Lord will help me tonight.
And so I want to show you tonight how that Simeon found the Lord in the house of God, and he found him calling him our salvation. He found salvation in the Lord in the house of God. In verses 25 through 35, how the Bible tells us how he was looking for consolation. In verse number 25, he was just in the mouth, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. He was looking for consolation. Does anybody know what it's like? Have I been to come to the house of God looking for consolation? I remember when I came to the house of the Lord, I was not looking to get saved and not that I got saved, but I was looking to be consoled. I was looking for consolation. I was looking for some help. And I'm going to tell you why I was looking for it, because the Holy Ghost was upon me. It was the Lord that was dealing with my life. And we find this man, Simeon, he's looking for consolation. And because he is under conviction, or because the Holy Spirit has given him the conviction that he will see the salvation of the Lord before, and that he sees death, and I praise God for that. He's looking for consolation because the Holy Ghost was upon him. I thank God that he did that for me. In verse 26, we see that he received revelation. It said the Lord had revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. I'm telling you, thank the Lord, you can get salvation. But when you come to the house of God looking for consolation and receiving revelation. By the way, you know how we get that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm so thankful that the Lord sent the Word of God through the preaching of God's man revealed unto me who the Lord was. Showed me my need of Him. It is by revelation. If you ever know who Jesus is tonight, it'll not be because of the preacher, it'll not be because of the church, it'll not be because you're so smart and figured everything out. But my friend, it'll be by revelation. And Peter said, I say thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If you'll ever know who Jesus is, you'll have to receive it by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It's the Lord's Spirit that reveals Him and does. And He comes for salvation, looking for consolation. Receive revelation. In verse number 27, He obeyed with cooperation. Amen. He obeyed with cooperation. The Lord, my friend, told him how to go to the house of God, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, I don't read into this any coercion or, my friend, any sort of resistance on the part of a Simeon. He obeys when the Holy Ghost comes on him. He obeys what God has given him to do. And he gladly comes to see Jesus. Amen. Oh, if you'll be saved tonight, if the Lord is dealing with your heart, don't wait for them to put a noose around your neck and drag you to repentance and faith. And you'll have to cooperate with the Lord. That's what faith is. It is a positive response to the call of the gospel. And faith is obedience to the Word of God. And faith without obedience is dead. Faith without works is dead. And you perceive that Abraham was justified by faith alone, nay, but also by works. That is, if you don't act upon this conceptual belief, and you say, well, I believe in God, you're doing no better than the devil. The devils also believe in God and temple. It does not mean they're saved. Have a friend, when you have this conceptual belief in God prompted by the Holy Ghost, and then you act in obedience to that by repenting your sin, confessing Christ, and then you be saved. Amen. And he obeyed with cooperation. Some folks talk about being saved like it's something they're waiting on the Lord to hold them hostage. Put a gun on them. How they can raise both hands and surrender. I'm going to tell you, if you don't willingly surrender, if you don't to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, you'll die lost and go to hell. And you can step on your neck against God. You can refuse the Lord. You can reject the only Lord Jesus. And you can die without God. How you looking at a preacher that don't believe in any of the two? How that it does not believe in an irresistible grace? How that is the teaching that God overwhelms men and coerces them or forces them to come and be saved? That is not the scriptural teaching. If you refuse the gospel, if you reject the gospel, if you neglect the gospel, you'll die without the gospel. Amen. But praise God, I'm so thankful. There is a God in heaven that'll turn the light on in your life and give you access. And my friend, he'll set before you an open door. And my friend, he'll give you a way to get through the straight gate and into the narrow way. And it does lead to life everlasting. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus. He came to the church looking for Jesus, and he found salvation was in him. Looking for consolation, obeyed or received revelation, obeyed with cooperation. He responded with glorification. Amen. In verse 28, then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, he took this baby Jesus out. By the way, as soon as what he saw Jesus, he instantly believed and he received Jesus. Isn't that right? He had been reached out there and took that baby Jesus in his arm and received him. Oh, praise God, if you will be saved tonight, you're going to have to be willing to receive him. And so he took this baby in his heart, and when he had Jesus in his heart, he looked up toward heaven and he started praising the Lord. And he started glorifying the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you really get saved tonight, you might not know how to quote scripture right away. That takes some work. I've had folks tell me, oh, it's a gift. It ain't a gift. It's a lot of hard work is what it is. And some folks have memorized easier than others, but it's work for anybody to be able to memorize anything. It takes diligence and labor, and it's worth it. I say it is worth it. Have to memorize scripture. You might not be able to memorize scripture right off. Just because you come down and ask Lord to save you and he saves you, that doesn't mean you're going to sit down the next day and play the piano. And my friend has had the gift to play the piano or one of these instruments. That doesn't mean you know how to read shape notes in a songbook right away. That takes hard work too. But I tell you what you can do right away, instantly. You don't have to wait until you've learned anything. You raise your hands toward heaven and say hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. Bless his sweet name. He had received Jesus more than a second. And he's already raised his hands and praising the Lord. And he's blessing God and glorifying God. You don't have to wait until you've been saved 25 years or until you learn how. You don't have to wait until you know spiritual words. I mean, just praise the Lord.
I believe everybody's been saved. I'll give a personal testimony of what Jesus has done for them. Everybody's around. I believe everybody that's saved ought to be encouraged to go ahead. The day the Lord saves them, while it's still fresh and while they're still happy in the Lord, before the devil smacks them in the mouth of the dead rabbit, ought to go ahead right then and be encouraged to raise their hands and say, thank the Lord for saving my soul. And everybody around them that is saved ought to raise their hands with them and say, hallelujah. Help of God working in the life of a child. Help God to be birthed in the family of the Lord. And we are, by the way, all that means, Brother T. Say, is that we are doing like Jesus does. Because there is rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Only one sinner repents. According to Zephaniah chapter 3, ain't a whole lot of reading or preaching done there, is there? According to Zephaniah chapter 3, the Lord joys over us with singing. He rejoices over us with a song. Didn't you know when sinners get saved that God gets into glory in heaven and praises himself over it, and gets happy over it, and the Son gets happy, and the Father gets happy, and the Holy Ghost gets happy, and we all get happy.
That's exactly right.
He responded with glorification. And I don't want to tell you not only that, he came looking for consolation, received revelation, obeyed with cooperation, responded with glorification, but he ended up with satisfaction. Amen. He ended up with satisfaction. Praise God. Oh, look at
verses 29 through 32. He said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, like a light to Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. He said, Lord, I can die now. If I don't live another day, I'm satisfied. If I don't make it another hour, I'm happy. My life is fulfilled. Everything that I ever needed, I'm satisfied with it. If I live 100 more years or if I live 5 more minutes, Lord, I'm satisfied to go on wherever you want me. I'm ready to die. I won't tell you I'm satisfied. But where my heart is with the Lord, that's what salvation does for you. It doesn't make you want to die, but it gets you ready to die. Amen. It makes you want to live for God, but it gets you ready to die when your time comes.
In the double satisfaction this world's looking for, and they can't find it. They even write songs about it. Y'all don't look more spiritual than you really are. They even write songs about it and say things like, I can't get no satisfaction. Y'all are not so near spiritual as you appear to be. And I try, and I try, and I try, and I try, and I can't get no satisfaction. And now some of y'all maybe have never heard that, but most of you have. And that's where the lost man is. He can't get no satisfaction. He cannot get it, friend. Doesn't matter how hard he works, how religious he is, how whatever works he does in his life, it takes the Lord to satisfy the soul. But I tell you, when a man gets saved, he can say, Lord, if I gotta die right now, I'm satisfied. I'm at peace with God. My heart's right with God. If I live, if I die, if I live, if for Christ, if I live, it is Christ, if I die, it's gain. I'm in a straight cause betwixt two. I'm willing rather to stay, but desiring to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far greater. I say it is better far to know. Hallelujah, friend. He ended up with satisfaction in his life.
Amen.
Came to church looking for Jesus and found it was salvation in what he did. Give him the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and he ended up satisfied. Looking for consolation, received revelation, obeyed with cooperation, responded with glorification, hid the devil's satisfaction. He provoked inspiration. Amen. At verses 33 through 35, the family of Jesus rejoiced. My friend, when others met him and knew who he was. Look what happened here in verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, the child set in the fallen rise again of the enemy Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce to thine own soul also, and that the faults of many hearts may be revealed. I like what happens when Joseph and Mary marvel at those things. They heard Simeon, they heard what he said, and this man just met Jesus, and they heard how he worshiped God, what he had to say, and the family of Jesus had rejoiced when somebody else met him and knew who he was. We're his family tonight. If y'all hadn't done put two and two together, we are his family. We're the family of Jesus. And we are rejoiced when Jesus comes in contact with others, when others meet him. And when they get saved, and when they begin to worship God, it ought to provoke us. Isn't it amazing how nobody knew Jesus better than Mary and Joseph knew Jesus? And nobody knew him better than Mary and Joseph. And yet, whenever they saw somebody else meet him, and they saw the way they acted, they always got surprised by it. I mean, I've been saved now. Brother Chris had to go and tell me a while ago that it's about 30 years and remind me how old that I am. I think what he was really trying to remind me is how much older I am than he is. I think that's what he was trying to do. But listen, I've been saved now in the 30 years now. I mean, hear me. Every time I see somebody get a family of God, every time I see somebody see the family get the glory, every time I hear a preacher preach of the Holy Ghost, every time I hear somebody testify of the power of God in their lives, I get to where I just marvel at what the Lord is doing in their lives. I rejoice my soul to magnify the Lord. That makes me happy in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm part of his family, and I get keyed up about what he's doing in somebody else's life when they meet my precious Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation, finding Jesus in the house of God. They did. They found Jesus in the house of God in salvation.
And then in this second account, which I'll not spend as much time on tonight, we find that not only did Simeon find him in salvation, but we find that Anna found him in adoration. Amen. That word that simply means to adore, to worship, to glorify, to praise. And I thank the Lord for that. Yeah. I'm glad when we come to church that we can praise Him, worship Him, honor Him, glorify Him. And that's what Simeon's been doing. And Anna, I believe, by the way, that Anna came to church all the time. Best we can tell about her is that she was daily in the temple in prayers. And she'd been doing this for a long time. And there are some terms in this passage that are confusing. A language that we can't tell for sure if she had been a widow for 84 years or if she was a widow that was 84 years old. Either way, she's an old woman. She might be 84, and she might be 84 plus the 7 years she was married plus the years before she got married, so she might be closer home to 100 and some odd years old. We don't know how old Anna was, but she was not a young woman, and she had been a faithful attendee at the house of God. Yeah. She had been to church a lot of days, been to church a lot of hours, been in there when a lot of babies was brought in and brought out, been to a lot of baby dedications. But she hadn't seen this kind of behavior. But when she saw it, she was not foreign to it. When she saw it, she related to it. When she heard what Simeon was saying, when she saw what Simeon was doing, and when she felt what Simeon was feeling, and she got in what Simeon was in on. Amen. And she began to worship the Lord. And the Bible said that she, in verse number 36, we find an elder saint. She's Anna the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She's a widow about 84 years. That's 84 years old. She departed not from the temple. She's an older saint. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Has she been faithful to the Lord? And outside, she was called a prophetess. The Bible calls her a prophetess. And now, don't ask me what to do about that or with it, because I don't know. But I do know this much. This woman was full of the Holy Ghost. And she knew something about God. And she knew something about when the Lord showed up. And she was not fooled by the imitations. And not everybody had come through the temple. And not through the deeds of us would have caught her attention. And not everybody that could sing and play the piano. And would she have mistaken them for being full of the Spirit of God? And she knew Spirit-filled worship and she saw it. And she knew God working whenever she witnessed it. She knew praise when she heard it. And when Simeon got the glory of God, and she said, oh yeah, I got to get over there where he is. And when she saw what Simeon saw, and she began to praise the Lord. And she began to worship the Lord. I tell you, thank God for those seasoned saints that know something about worshiping God, that know something about where the power of God is, that know something about the seeds of the Holy Ghost, that knows there's a difference between racket and revival, that there's a difference between flesh and worship, that there's a difference between old fashioned and Spirit of God worship and entertainment. They know where God is.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
And meeting this week up in Virginia and enjoyed all of it. It was all good. There wasn't none of it bad. It's all good. And I thank the Lord for that. But there's an older preacher that was there, and I don't remember his name, and I'd never met him before. But he's 89 years old, and Brother Simpson called on him to stand and give a word of testimony and lead him in prayer and so forth on the afternoon service. And he stood up back there and began to testify a little bit and told how he got saved and what the Lord did in his life. Oh, and you talk about a blessing. Amen. He began to talk about how God dealt with his heart and how hard-hearted he was and cold on the Lord. And he wouldn't do business with God and he wouldn't go to church and he wouldn't this and that. But his wife was saved and she was a real Christian and praying for him. And he said how he got out in the field. And he owned this little farm out there and he said, I was running a tractor and cutting hay. He said, I just run that tractor and decided I wasn't going to stop it until I was done, no matter how late it got in the day. But he said, while I was out there, I was talking to the Lord. And he said, I didn't know one single verse of Scripture in the Bible. But he said, I was trying to talk to the Lord. I was just telling him how I couldn't get saved. And how he couldn't save somebody like me. And how that it wasn't
no need him trying with. Best thing he'd do is just leave me alone. Don't bother me no more, because I couldn't be saved. And he said, the more I tried to talk the Lord out of it, the more it seemed like God wanted to save me. And he said, before I got to where I knew what I was doing, I'd tell the Lord, and now that priest of the church keeps telling me, if I just call on you, you'd save me. He said, I didn't even know Romans 10 and 9. He said, I learned since I got saved that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he said, I didn't even know that. And I was trying to tell the Lord how he couldn't save me. And he said, finally, I parked the tractor, got off, and he said, I probably walked around it 45 times. I'm pacing around that tractor telling the Lord all the reasons why I couldn't be saved. But he said, the Lord wasn't having any of it. And he said, finally, the Lord did what he promised he'd do. And he said, I felt the burden of guilt roll over my shoulders. And I knew that the Lord had saved my soul. And he said, I went in the house and told my wife. I said, well, there's one thing about it, all that you've been praying for, you can cut it out now. He said, I told her, and the Lord finally saved my soul. And I'm going to live for God to my dying day. I'm new married to a new man now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, witness with me. I'm glad for these elder saints that know something about being where God is, that have a story to tell, that have a testimony, that know how to worship, that have the Spirit of God on their lives. Got the squall and he's telling the Lord how much he loved him and how good he was, that God had blessed him all these years. I told him about the little honky tonk, how that they cleaned out and built a church in, and how God saved people in it, and the Lord had allowed him to still be pastoring there, 89 years old, still pastoring that church. And he said, it's all because God missed me. I'm back there in the field those years ago. I'm glad I know things about people like that. I'm thankful for those older saints that told me how to worship God. When I was such a little boy, I had the folks in my life that knew where God was, that knew how to worship the Lord. And it being my friend on the spell with an older comes out, and they were not satisfied, they go to a forum or a pastor or just a church service, they wanted to worship God. I appreciate them little women that wore bonnets on their head, and you know, the men that wore overalls every Sunday. It was not just old fashioned day, but every week, amen. I had an older fellow in the church. He was always wanting to tell me. He wanted to teach me how to play the harp. I told him I don't want to play one of them things. Finally, one day he brought me a harmonica, and I was tickled to death. And I never did figure out till after he was dead that that was the harp he was wanting me to learn how to play. I thought he wanted me to play one of them with strings on it. I didn't know. I mean, he was calling that harmonica a harp. But my friend, I thank the Lord for those older folks. I thank God for them to worship God. That taught me spiritual phrases. That taught me spiritual things. That taught me how to worship God. That showed me what it was to love the Lord. And I've been to love Him openly. And to love Him with their whole heart. Hey, thank God you didn't have to pump and cry and pull and beg and plead to Him no ask how to get Him to worship God. All you had to do was just get to church. Nobody even had to play the piano. Nobody had to even sing a song. Not half the time him and some of those other men would be on the porch. When you came up, he'd get there early. And he'd be shaking hands. And before folks come in the house, he'd be squalling out of the porch, telling folks what God did for him that week. And how good it was to be saved. I mean, you couldn't hardly help but have a Holy Ghost meeting. Because Brother Jimmy testified before you ever got in the church building. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. UB Green, get to shouting. And I'm talking about that's a lady now. Her name's UB. And UB Green, get to shouting, praising God. Get in the Holy Ghost. I mean, she knew God and I knew the Holy Ghost. And she get in the Holy Ghost. And I know things was about to blow up around there. She usually was the first indicator. Everybody else was a little slower on the boil, but she boiled pretty fast. I mean, just hey, it didn't take a mighty rushing wind. Just a very soft breeze start blowing. And Sister UV would start waving the flag and
shout. Amen. And the next thing you know, sister, great Shirley getting glory, getting a shout. And Grace, her husband, wasn't saved. And sometimes he didn't treat her nice. And a lot of times she'd get drunk. And sometimes she'd even say something like this. And she'd get the glory, get a shout. And she'd say, I thought I was drinking when I left home this morning. When I get back, he's probably going to whoop up on me for coming to church. But if I just be where God is, that's worth it all. It's worth it all, children. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go over there to see Charlie when my granddaddy was a pastor. And Charlie had two big old Doberman dogs. And he'd sit the dogs on us trying to run us off. And one day went to see him and he had been drinking. How earlier that morning, but he had. And pushed the beer up behind the fire pot. And told us to come on in. He said, I've been sitting here. He said, at the first of the morning, I sat here at the table was drinking. And he said, finally, I pushed the beer away, preacher. And he said, I got my Bible out. The Bible sitting on the table. And he said, I got my Bible out. And I've been sitting here. And he said, did you know this book said that the foxes have their holes and the birds of the air have their nests? But he said, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. He said, preacher, I told the Lord a while ago that he could just come live right in here. Oh, bless the Lord. He'd get his old guitar up and beat the fire out of it. About 100 miles an hour. He played like this and sung slow. I mean, just beat the fire out of that guitar. And it sang his number one song. But it sang when Stephen was accused. Oh, in the wilderness. Oh, man, that day it stand by its side. But he looked up to heaven and saw the face of Jesus. And he rolled him over the side. I never had a prayer Jesus wouldn't answer. I never said a tear he couldn't dry. And when the waves of life are so high, you can't mount them, he'll roll you over the tide. And when Charlie sing, we shout. Because we knew what God had done for him. I'm thankful those old saints, like Hannah of Esther, that knew something about being where God is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Corner on that side over there. I've told this 5 million times. And if those of you that's my age and older need to take them out, now would be the time to do it. I'm going to talk to some of our young people that maybe don't remember this time. How maybe if now's the time to skip carry your stay walk the dog? Now is the time to do it, but I'll be back with a message in a minute. Our young people need to hear this country.
That's right.
And they on the sides over there. They'd have the amen sections on this side and on that side. How they'd have any pews on the stage, just the bullpen. And three pastor seats up there. High in the congregation, about 7 or 8 rows deep. High in the congregation, 2 aisles. And then this place here in the middle was open. And so folks are facing from this way and from that way. And then we had a wall that was knocked out on this side over here. How we could drag the doors shut, we could drag them back. How we shut them during Sunday school and open them during church to accommodate the crowd. I've seen over 200 in that little white sideboard. I'm there to the church in a pine thicket. And the problem is the fire marshal knew about that. He'd have shut us down. I told there wasn't a seat but about 100 packed down full. I have seen more than 200 there. And was averaging over 150. How we built that new building, that fancy, how pretty building y'all see on their Pine Ridge now. I baptized over 50 in 1984. And 16 of them in Lindsay Lake on Christmas Day. Amen. That's exactly right. God was doing some things around there. And I'd get to see him worship. And I'd be my granddaddy pastor there. And we had a communion table like this. And an altar pew that was covered with a leather covering. And it come out like this one here across. After the front, across the front, back down the south. Horseshoe shaped like this one here that Brother Bob made for us. That's why we have this one. He made it for us. And really made it for me. And I appreciate it. It's a blessing. And it had a black leather covering on it. Brother Ed Jordan, who's in heaven now, had made that with his own two hands. And the folks would come around and kneel and pray. And the tears would drop and fall on that old leather covering. And then disappear because of that. They just fell up. And when the service is done, my granddaddy come around with his handkerchief and wipe them up like that. And say something like this. The Lord
Lord sees him and he's bottling them tears up. Oh, praise the Lord. And march around and didn't stay in one place and walk around the pulpit and preach in circles around that pulpit. I step back and step forward, step back and step forward, raise his hands and put them down. I say he preached as best he could. Hardly could read his name, but preached with all that's in him, trying to get folks to get high with God. And I'm telling that crowd to worship the Lord. I sat over there on that side, in front of those, sat on the second pew, there's three rows there, the amen corner. And my daddy sat on the second pew, I sat beside him. And Jimmy Miller, I sat on the other side of me. And it's a wonder I'm not deaf when the two of them shout in my ear on either side on Sunday. Amen. In front of us, W.B. Gray had said, and we all called him Duck. That's what everybody called him. I still don't know why. But his name was W.B. and he didn't have no initials. That was his name, was W.B. It didn't stand for anything. It was W.B. And they called him Duck. And the Duck Ray was an old moonshiner that got saved in his barn and busted a bottle of liquor. A bottle of liquor and poured him out in his barn and tell him about it over and over again. And he'd sit in front of us. And Pepper Leg had sat behind us. And Brother Leg had blow his nose when he got excited. And the Lord, he'd get to crying. And he'd blow his nose. And he was nearly 100 years old. And it sounded like a freight train coming through there. I knew the Lord was working in that place. Across, I'd sit on this side here beside my daddy. I could look across to that other side. Where that other amen corner was. And the seeds of spiritual women sat over there. And my granny sat over there. And those Helen and Mill Irons and Lena Beavers. And some of them other spiritual women sat on that other side over there. And they get the glory. My granny get the shout. And this other get the shout. I mean, so like Comanche Indians in there. And the world will fall as crazy. The world will fall as all crazy as mad. But I sat on the pew and watched that crowd. And I said, oh God! When I do get saved, I will get the kind they've got. And I will leave the kind they've got. Hallelujah. And I found out when I got saved that kind still was available. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And some of you young people, this will blow your mind. I didn't shout tonight I got saved. Hallelujah. I didn't shout tonight I got saved. It was a week before I shouted. Hallelujah. But all week long I asked for it.
Woo!
The Lord didn't have to twist my arm and tell me this is how you're going to worship me. I was itching to. I wanted to. I was a volunteering. I wanted everybody to know I was saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. I could give the glory. But I tell you what I do remember. I do remember well. The Lord had been on my heart and I was hungry for God. And the Lord called me to preach first and began to deal on my heart. And now all at church over there when my granddad's preacher of Bible getting called and the Lord began to on my heart. I was 13 years old and had been surrendered that week and I wrestled with that for several months until I finally surrendered to preach and to do it now. And so then time rocked home and I kept praying and seeking after God. Oh, listen to me, that was when I was 13. I preached in revivals, I preached on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I preached just about every week somewhere. And when I was 15 years old, the Lord dealt with my heart and said, you can't go any further than what you've gone until you absolutely and totally surrender everything to me. I can't use any more than what I already have if you don't surrender it all to me. I didn't know all what that meant. I sure didn't know how to put theological terms to it. But I knew I wanted God to use me. I remember that place and time when I laid there to the altar of Baptist Church and asked the Lord to use me however He wanted to, whenever He wanted to, wherever He wanted to. I surrendered wholly. And I tell you, God came down and heaven filled my soul. And I remember the first time in my life, and not that I preached with zeal, not that I preached out of the help of God, but that I preached in the glory of the Lord come down and feel in heaven in my preaching and my worship. I know a little bit about all night prayer meetings and rock altars. I know that God hearing ancient prayers. I don't tell you, thank God for the influence of those prayers and answers. That's probably how to get where God is.
I first got saved, the kind of preaching that I do and the kind of church we have was just ordinary. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It is the way everybody just about had church.
Yes,
and most of the preachers that I knew preached like this.
Yes, sir.
Most
yes,
of them
sir.
Was old, but they preached like this.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. I mean, Sister Nancy and her family would come sing for me when I was a teenage preacher boy. And we'd have meetings, and her mom would shout, and her daddy would laugh and smile and wave his hand. And her mom would dance. She'd get the Holy Ghost and dance. I said, Sister Nancy, go on dance. I don't know if she can or not, but her mama could, I guarantee you. I've not been her mama. I could dance, couldn't she? She'd get the Holy Ghost and start jumping up like this, and start shouting and start praising God. Don't send them people's said, no, they knew where the Lord was. They knew how to worship God. More concerned about glorifying the Lord than what they were protecting their dignity or being received in the flesh. They were outcasts a lot of lifetime. Had a sense of travel over Union Hill. They lifetime of my great granny Hitch. How my buddies made fun of her because she didn't always. I looked just right and her fashion was bad. And her clothes were old. And she was sick. And the life got her because of it. And she knew where God was. And even when she got where she couldn't see with her eyes, she could see what we couldn't see. Hallelujah. And she got the glory. Amen. And this world bought her and made fun of her. But I tell you, glory's going to receive her. And heaven welcomed her when left this world.
She left this world, heaven glad to see her.
Amen. Hallelujah. The little house she lived in wasn't fit for animals to stall in. Wasn't as nice as our barns. I didn't know anybody else lived like that. Two-room house, kitchen in the other room, whatever the other room was. The other room had a bed in it on cinder blocks. And the other had an old-fashioned fireplace. And it was, had two chairs sitting in front of it, straight-back chairs that my great-grandpa had made. Oh, that woven, oh, that basket weaving style and the seat of them, and the straight back wood on the back of them, and they'd sit in them two chairs on that little dirt floor, and the great grandma'd sweep the floor too. That wasn't the way to get the dirt up, that was the floor. But she'd sweep the floor to get all the grains of it going in the same direction, almost like you'd do a sand trap down the golf course. And she'd rake that floor in their living room, and my granddaddy never would burn more than two sticks on the fire one time. He said it's wasteful to do more than that. Yeah. And he didn't believe in electric lights. He said that was witchcraft. Yeah. And he didn't believe in running water. He said that was witchcraft. Yeah. And he didn't believe in television. He said that was witchcraft. Yeah. And anything he didn't understand, he said it was witchcraft. Yeah. And the door that they had hanging on that house, yeah, that was nothing more than a barn door. Yeah. And it didn't have a door knob in it. Yeah. It just had a slat on it like you'd have in a barn. Yeah. And you could run your hand through the hole in the door and open that up. Yeah. I slid up and opened the door up. Yeah. And in the wintertime, even Brother John should open up the door. Yeah. And she's always close saying she'd wrap up in her close say blanket. Yeah. And look down the road. The dirt road came right at their house. Yeah. And then turned and I've been on a dog leg. Yeah. Right as soon as they got to their house. Yeah. And she'd sit there and watch the cars come down the road. Yeah. And one of them about 7 or 8 of them would come down the road. Yeah. And you better not go anywhere when you weren't supposed to go anywhere. Or my granny knew about it. Amen.
Yeah.
And she knew everybody that came in, everybody that went out. And she'd sit there and watch. Yeah. And I've been seeing you how to make 7 layer of peanut butter cakes. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And she made them in a pot belly stove.
Yeah.
And she knew how to make 7 layer peanut butter cakes.
Yeah.
And fried pies, amen.
Yeah.
And the chicken and dressing.
Yeah.
And she knew how to make chicken dumplings.
Yeah.
But she didn't use it because the granddaddy said that was wasteful.
Yeah.
And so she'd make potato dumplings, amen.
Yeah.
And I mean, she'd say, hey, every year when it comes time for her birthday, she'd make the,
yeah,
her birthday was the same day as that,
yeah,
or the same day as my wife's birthday is.
Yeah.
So my wife and my great-grandma's the same age. Amen.
Amen.
And her birthday is the same day as the wife's birthday.
Yeah.
And the granddaddy's birthday is the same day as Caleb's birthday.
Yeah.
And so they're lying next to one another 24th and 25th of October.
Yeah.
And my great-grandma would make a,
yeah,
a 7 layer peanut butter cake for her pastor,
yeah,
which was also her grandson-in-law, or know her, I know her grandson-in-law's father.
Yeah.
I was her pastor, and she'd make him a birthday cake.
Yeah.
And the two of them would sit down and eat the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And she loved the Lord.
Yeah.
Had a pot organ. Had a pop organ that's still over there in the house. Had a pop organ set over in the corner of that house. I'm sending rocks to keep it off the dirt floor. Only thing she owned that was ever worth anything at all. Had us get set down and pump that old pop organ. Didn't have electricity. If y'all youngers don't know what one is, it works like air. You pump the air in it. Had it in the press the keys and the air comes back out. But the sound of an organ doesn't require electricity. And she'd sit down that pump organ and play those songs and sing the hymns. And just sit there by herself after my great grandpa passed away and worship the Lord. You can stop by to see her. You might catch her having a Holy Ghost fit. And if you didn't, she's going to tell you about when she had one. And next thing you know, she'd be having another one. Amen. You had any come today? I should say no. This one come in. That one came in. This one went down the road. That one went up the road. But she'd sit there and get that glassy eyed look on her face. And she'd say, but now about 3 o'clock, I sat down over there at the organ and started to play. And Jesus, lover of my soul, led me to my bosom. Why? And she said, he'd come in here and visit a while. I said, it was sure good to have fellowship with God, to be in the presence of all of you. Praise God. I'm out there around some folks that know a little bit about that kind of stuff.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it's not something of a bygone era.
That's exactly right.
It's just something most folks in our generation don't prize. Prize is being very important.
That's right.
Amen. But if you want it, you can have it.
Hey, that's right.
It wasn't everybody that was worshiping the day that Anna worshiped, but she did.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen. Even in those days when the Lord is sleeping through so big, everybody in that church that I was in didn't worship. But those that did wasn't going to let the bystanders and the critics stop them. And we need some folks like that again.
Amen.
Come to church for adoration. I got to go. I got to move on. I'm recording differently these days, and my watch is not in front of me all the time telling me how long I got to preach. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I got to figure something else out. I'll preach all day and not even know it. So you come to church with adoration, that elder saint. Then in verse 37, we find earnest supplication. You know why she could worship like that? Because she prayed like she did.
That's right. Amen.
She was praying every day.
That's right.
She departed not from the temple, served God with fastings and prayer. Night and day, you can pray like she did, you can worship like she did.
Amen.
Reason why you can't worship no different than what you do is because you pray like you do.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Hey.
Amen.
That's right.
Then we find an evangelistic spirit that she had. In verse number 38, it said, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord, and spake unto him to all them that look for redemption. In Jerusalem, she went and told everybody about Jesus.
Amen.
Evangelistic spirit.
That's right.
Finding Jesus in the house of God.
Yes, yes, sir.
He found him in salvation. She found him in adoration. Parents of Jesus, as well as the doctors and the lawyers, found him in instruction. The last part of our passage, and I'm going to finish this quickly, verses 41 to 52 deals with it. Jesus is left at the temple. Parents have to come back looking for him. When they come back to find him, he's sitting there and asking questions and answering questions of the doctors and the lawyers of the law. And when it says he's asking questions, that don't mean he's inquiring of them. That means he's questioning them. It's not that he's wanting to learn something from them. It's that he's wanting to show them they don't know what they think they do.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We find a godly example in this. Listen, instruction at the house of the Lord. When you find Jesus at the house of God, there's going to be some instructions. There's going to be some things. Didn't the Bible say in Titus that the grace of our God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? It teaches us. You don't like anybody teaching you anything. You've got a hard head. He that been often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You got a hard head and stiff neck, you won't ever get anywhere with the Lord like that.
You're exactly right.
Got to have a teachable spirit. And there's some instruction here when you find Jesus at the house of God. You see, when the Lord saved me, he taught me from then till now, and is still teaching me how to live my life. And instruction. There's a godly example in verse 41. It said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And I want to say his parents went every year. Their son always, I saw them. Their son also always went with them.
Amen.
Their church experience was so real that not only did they take him to church all these years, but they took him to church on this 12th year, and he himself is in the church, and it was so real that he didn't leave. When they went home, he stayed. Isn't that right? You know why some of our young people aren't staying in church when they get a little older? Because they didn't have enough consistent experiences in church when they were younger.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You bring your kids to church about once, twice, every month or two, about maybe two or three Sundays a month. Sunday morning most of the time. Sunday night every blue moon. Wednesday night when you get a chance. At revival 5 nights, you'll try to make it 1 night, just keep the preacher off your back. And then you wonder why when they get a driver's license, they don't come to church no more. They're about like you. They don't think it's important.
That's right.
Anybody still listening now?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
There's one thing about this crowd that's in this passage of Scripture we're reading tonight. They all go to church.
Amen.
I've had folks tell me you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You might not do it, but every Christian I've ever known is going to church.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every one of them.
Yes.
Amen. A godly example. And then they found instruction, not only in a godly example, but in a goodly illustration. Look at verse number 46. It said, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. The goodly illustration is that we can be taught here in that they found him in the church after 3 days. Don't ever miss that. Anytime you see in the Bible 3 days, it does matter. 3 days Jonah was in the belly of the whale. 3 days and 3 nights the Son of Man was in the heart of the earth. And 3 days they found Jesus after 3 days in the temple. You know why we can find him at the house of God now? You know why you can experience God in the house of God now? Because of what happened after 3 days. In 3 days they buried the Lord, but after 3 days he arose from the grave. Because of what happened when he resurrected from the grave, we can find Jesus and experience Jesus and get instructed in Jesus at the house of God. After 3 days, by the way, he answered their questions. You know, there's a lot of folks had some questions to Jesus till after the third day. He said to Peter and them, he said, I'm going to suffer many things with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and be killed, be betrayed of them, going to die, be buried. In 3 days I'll rise again. They said, be it far from thee, Lord. They didn't understand. There's a lot of questions answered by an empty tomb.
Amen.
We rejoice about Easter, man. Them folks on that first Easter weren't rejoicing. They didn't understand. But there's a lot of questions gets answered by a living Jesus.
Amen.
By the resurrection, he answers a lot of questions. Matter of fact, he answers the question of how are we going to rise again. I mean, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain and you're yet in your sins. But praise God for the third day and the resurrection.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Instruction on a goodly illustration. And then verses 47 to 52, this is the last verses. There's a gracious reception. They find Jesus in instruction in the house of God with a gracious reception.
Yes, sir.
Jesus confounded the teachers in verse 47. They didn't know what to think about him. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. He confused his family. In verse 48, they said, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? He confused his family. We find a considerate mother in verse 51. See, he came back home, was subject unto them, but in verse 51, the latter part of the verse, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She sat down and considered everything that had happened. Asked what it meant. God, what do you want to show me through the life of my children? Through the life of my son that's also your son? God, what do you want to show me? She pondered them, considered them in her heart. The Lord was teaching her, is what I'm saying. And then we find some constructive growth in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
They went to church, and I don't know what all these people were looking for. Simeon come looking for salvation, I know that. I think Hannah just came looking to go to church like she always did, was just faithful, and God did something. Sometimes the God will just do something if you're just faithful. But the parents of Jesus specifically came looking for Jesus. And they all found what they were looking for and a whole lot more.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, if you look for Him at the house of God, you can find Him.
That's right.
And you'll likely find a lot more than what you expected.
Yes.
Tonight, did you come looking to find a reed shaking in the wind? Jesus asked, what went you out in the wilderness for to see? They that are clothed in soft raiment. Nay, they that are clothed in soft raiment dwell in king's houses. He said, did you go out to the wilderness to see a prophet? I'm going to tell you more than a prophet. It's John the Baptist he's talking about. I wonder tonight, what did you come out to see? What everybody was wearing or wasn't wearing, what everybody's doing or not doing? You come to see what crazy thing that preacher would say or do now? You come to figure out what who you could criticize or talk ugly about? Find fault? There'll be plenty of it here. You won't have to look real hard. Matter of fact, if it'd help you any, I'd point some out to you and just let's make a list of it, get that out of the way, and then we can just rejoice in Jesus instead of spending time with that.
That's right.
I mean, we didn't come to find fault and be ugly. We came to worship the Lord.
That's right.
And if you came looking for Jesus, He's here to be found. He's not hiding from you. If you seek the Lord, He'll be found in you. But if you refuse Him, He'll refuse you. I didn't make that up. I found that in here. That's what the prophet told good King Asa. It's the word of the Lord, by the way. And if it's the word of the Lord, it's still true. If you'll seek Him, He'll be found. By the way, we're supposed to seek the Lord while He's near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Amen. I'm grateful for what I've learned about Jesus in the house of God. Let's sing a hymn tonight. Sister Jane, you mind coming and playing for me? Maybe page 44. Come unto me, come unto me. Learn of Him. Be instructed of Him. Learn of Him. He said, I'm meek and lowly of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. If you need to pray tonight, you'll be obedient to the Lord. We're going to sing page 44. Come unto me.